Establishing the contact was easier than Slyke had feared.
We heard.
Ready to initiate bubble bath.
You?
Better go ahead. Investigation of the Major's disappearance.
Affirmative. ETA stage one?
2 7 minutes plus original.
Good.
Now he had to signal his fellows. Sergeant Copans and Sergeant Vinus looked worried, but heard him out.
But sir, with the commander's disappearance, fleet security will be all over us like crushers on a broken spacer.
Yes, and if we wait around here, chances are they'll find something the commander left that will incriminate us. Either we do it now, or there's a very good chance we'll be in there.
Slyke jerked his thumb at the cell block's outer doors.
With them. Is that what you want?
No, but...
Did you earn your ears, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Then hop to it.
RSS Bonar Tig requested permission from Traffic Control to practice LAC drops into the big ocean. Many of the warships which visited Copper Mountain took advantage of the opportunity to test their drop crews. Traffic Control approved the drop zone, 200 clicks south of Stack Islands, and also advised them that the only traffic was a prop jet doing SAR to the northwest. Bonar Tig's crew had coalesced around the charismatic Solomon Drige, hero of Cavanado, and just too junior, like Bakarian, to be closely investigated as a Lepescu protege after the Admiral's demise. The conspirators had learned from the mutiny aboard Despite, and the proportion of those supporting Drige and his allies was much higher in every ship, the chain of command much tighter. This time, they were not acting for the benignity, but for themselves. The Loyal Order of Game Hunters. Like Lepescu, they saw themselves as more loyal, more dedicated than other fleet members. Fleet had gone soft, Drige had declared. The whole Familius Regnant had gone as soft as a rotting peach. Weakness in high places, from the King's abdication to Lord Thornbuckle's inability to keep his daughter in line, proved the need for a stronger, more warlike military arm. They recruited widely, more often in the NCO levels than Lepescu had. As Drige said, if their founder had a fault, it was his misplaced belief in high birth. The removal of senior NCOs and flag-ranking officers because of problems with rejuvenation gave them an obvious window of opportunity. The following burst of temporary promotions gave the group a flag-rank member again. He might be only an admiral minor, and only for the duration of the emergency, but that emergency would last long enough for his purposes. Bonar Tig's three LACs dropped into atmosphere under control of the orbital traffic control. Atmospheric traffic control on Copper Mountain was minimal, except near the main training centers, and the big ocean had none. Once below 8,000 meters, they were automatically untagged on orbital screens. Still, they stayed on course until under 2,000 meters, when they angled northward toward the Stack Islands. CPO Slyke did not know exactly how Commander Bakarian had intended to deal with the prisoners and guards who were not part of the conspiracy. For his part, he had no intention of leaving witnesses behind, even on that isolated base. When the storm passed, and the radios once more punched through with the usual demands for daily reports, he'd had to say something to divert suspicion, and had reported Mahari and Bakarian both as missing, presumed swept away by waves. Incredulity had followed. He knew that someone would send an investigative team as soon as possible, along with a new CO. No one must be left to talk about it. Even if the mutineers gained support of the orbital station, they wouldn't have the whole planet by the time someone could get here and write a damning report. His confederates first took care of those members of the staff who were not part of the conspiracy. Those bodies he left in place. He hoped later investigators would think it a prison breakout. Killing the uninvolved prisoners was another matter. He had them brought out into the courtyard and then turned the riot weapons on them. When the prisoners he'd recruited came out, they were more respectful, just as he'd hoped. By the time the LACs were in atmosphere, he had the prisoners lined up and waiting. The most reliable had the weapons and PPUs out of the guard room. When the first LAC settled on the cold stone of Three Stacks landing pad, Slyke didn't wait for the hatches to open. The men were in motion, running. first LAC lifted, and the next settled in place. 60 more men raced aboard, just ahead of another rain squall. Then another 60, and another. Slyke rode the last one up. Bonar Tighe's LAC screamed south and rose from their designated drop zones back to orbit an ample 12 minutes before Martin Lahore finally fixed MetSat-4's glitch. MetSat-4 picked them up at near orbital level, but they were outbound, carrying fleet beacons. The satellite's AI tagged them as friendlies. The first LAC eased into Bonar Tighe's drop bay and settled onto its marks. Pivot and Sully Markham, who always read manuals and followed them to the letter, aimed the handheld bioscan at its fuselage. Her boss, Sergeant Minor Prinkin, snarled at her.
Put that down!
But sir, the manual said...
And Sully goggled at the readout. The LACs had gone out empty, with flight crew only, and her instrument was showing dozens and dozens of little green blips.
Put it down, Pivot. It's out of order.
Oh.
And Sully racked the instrument. So that's why it was showing troops aboard an empty LAC.
Should I take it to the repair bay, Sergeant Prinkin?
Do that, Pivot. You're no damn use in here anyway.
And Sully unracked the bioscan and headed toward the repair bay. She was tempted to turn it on and see if it worked when it didn't have to read through hull material, but she could feel Sergeant Prinkin watching her. He'd never liked her. He was always sniping at her, and she tried so hard. She let her mind drift into her favorite reverie of how much better she would treat Pivots when she made Sergeant Minor. The repair bay for small scan equipment was out of sight of the LAC service bay. Once around the corner, Ann Sully experimented with the bioscan. When she pointed it at her foot, a green, blurry, foot-shaped image appeared. When she aimed it at the squad coming down the passage, it showed all eight of them. When she aimed it at a bulkhead, there were two squatting shapes, and then a rush through the water pipes that made her blush. She hadn't meant to do anything like that. Chief Stockard in the repair bay took the bioscan and gave her forms to fill out.
But I think it's working now. I tried it on people coming along here, and it always registered them.
If your sergeant said it wasn't working, then it wasn't working. It may be working now, but it wasn't working then. What was he trying to do when he said it malfunctioned?
He wasn't using it, Chief. I was. I was taking a bioscan reading of the incoming LAC, just like it says to do in the manual, and he said put it down, it's not working right. And I guess it wasn't, because it said the LAC was full of troops.
LACs usually are.
But they dropped empty. I was there. I scanned them going out, just like the manual says, and they carried only flight crew. It was just a practice flight.
Stockard froze, his hands flat on the counter between them.
Are you saying the LACs went down empty and came up full?
No, sir, not really. They couldn't have. It's just this bioscan unit, but since it's malfunctioning...
You just wait there a minute.
Stockard turned away, and Ann Sully could see him talking into a comm unit, though she couldn't hear him. He turned back, shaking his head, still muttering into the comm unit. Then he gave her a rueful look.
I guess it malfunctioned. I just asked Chief Burdine if the LACs carry troops, and he said no. Oh, he says for you to take a detour up to admin and pick up the Liberty passes for the section. We'll be docking in a few hours.
Yes, sir.
No chance that her name would be on the list, given Sergeant Prinkin's animosity. But maybe he'd go, and she'd have a few hours of peace. Chief Burdine, on the LAC service bay deck, strolled over to Sergeant Prinkin as if making his usual round of stations.
Just had a call from Stockard in repair. That idiot Pivot of yours told him all about the malfunctioning bioscan showing the LAC full of troops. I think Stockard bought my assurance that they're empty, but how much chance that Pivot will blab to someone else about the bioscan reading?
Near 100%. She's a hard worker, shows initiative, always willing to help out.
A milk biscuit.
Oh, yeah, all the way through.
I wish we didn't have any of those aboard. They could have a happy life milking cows somewhere. What'd they have to join the fleet for?
For our sport.
That's true. Though it's little sport someone like her will give us.
Running up to admin from the repair bay meant running up a lot of ladders, which other people seemed busy running down. Again and again, Anseli had to stand aside while one or more officers or squads of NEMs clattered down. She wasn't really in a hurry, because the longer she was away from Sergeant Prinkin, the better. But standing at the foot of ladders wasn't her idea of fun. Her mind wandered to the LACs and the bioscan.
If LACs can drop and pick up troops, or drop troops off, why couldn't they pick troops up? Go down empty, come back full? And if you don't bioscan the LACs, how can you tell?
Stand clear!
Anseli flattened herself to the bulkhead yet again, not really seeing the uniforms flashing past her.
What if there are people on the ship who aren't crew? People from down on the planet?
Of course, everyone on this planet was fleet, so it didn't matter. Anseli knew that pivots weren't supposed to think, but she'd always had a sort of itchy feeling in her head if she didn't get things straight. A bioscan, which reported on real, verifiable, human-sized beings behind one wall, didn't turn liar and report that there were people where there weren't any. That very same bioscan unit had reported nothing in the LAC holds when the LAC left, when it was known to be empty.
So how did the sergeant know the LAC was empty when the bioscan said it was loaded with troops? Sergeants know everything, but...
Her mind itched. A non-itchy part of her mind began its own commentary on the crew members who kept coming down the ladders. There had been no general alarm, so she didn't understand why the ship's security details were on their way to the LAC bays. By the time she reached admin, her mind was worse than a case of hives, and the only way she knew to scratch it was to ask questions. The chief in admin growled and handed her another job to do.
How am I supposed to learn if no one answers my questions?
Bonar Tighe reported its LACs recovered and requested and received permission to dock at the orbital station. This, like the request to practice LAC drops, was standard procedure, and the traffic control gave Bonar Tighe a docking priority assignment based on her ETA. The station master approved Station Liberty at the captain's discretion and forwarded the station newsletter. Ships of Bonar Tighe's mass could not micro-jump so close to a planet, so the cruiser had to crawl patiently in a spiral to catch up with the station, a process which took several hours.